listening to RMD Studios.
Welcome back to the Community Podcast. I'm Gene Roncone, the superintendent of the Rocky Mountain Ministry Network, and today we're going to make another investment into your success. Any minister who is serious about personal development and growing in their ministry experience is going to have questions about how to best prepare for the exams that are required for each of the three levels of ministry credential in the Assemblies of God. Now, to help you know what to expect and to set you up to win, we want to give you some practical coaching on what to expect and how to prepare for the exam and the interview that will be required for this level of credentialing. It doesn't matter whether it's certified, licensed, or ordained. But today, we're going to talk about advancement from certified to licensed. And so few people can help you with that as good as Beth Backus. She is the head of pastoral care and credential director at the Northwest Ministry Network. She deals with this for over a decade. Beth, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. It's great to be here with you.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the exam preparation for someone wanting to advance from the lowest level of certified to the middle level of licensed. Now, if you're already certified, you will only be required to take one exam, and that is the polity exam. If you're not certified, well, then you've got to go straight to licensing. You've got to take Bible knowledge, doctrine, and polity. So for the sake of simplicity, let's assume the candidate is already certified and needs to take the polity exam only. Let's start by, what is polity, Beth?
Well, great question. Polity is simply how the Assemblies of God is organized and structured governmentally, as well as organizationally. So it really focuses on the governance of the Assemblies of God as a whole, and even the local church.
Now, I want to ask you this question again for those that didn't listen to the first one. All of these exams are proctored with either a hard paper copy or an online format. And I know the online format is way more popular than the paper copy, but help prepare us for that and explain what we need for that online experience, what kind of equipment we have to have, what kind of technology we need to be capable of.
Sure. Well, for the online exam, we've been proctoring simply using Zoom. Really saves a lot of time, travel. And so we set up a Zoom meeting, invite all of the test takers to that meeting. And on test day, we all log into the same meeting, go over some simple instructions. And while they're in the meeting, they open their exam invitations. Now, those are sent to them in a separate email, and they can begin their exams. So we ask all of the applicants, simply keep your videos on so that we can see that it's you taking that exam. Turn off your mics. We want to ensure the integrity, but also avoid distractions. And for online exams, applicants need to have really reliable internet, of course, and use a computer desktop or laptop. If they use a tablet, if they join Zoom through their smartphone, they can do that, but they can't use their tablet to both be in the Zoom meeting and take the exams. That doesn't work altogether. The license exam takes about an hour to complete.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the polity exam. You said it's basically the organizational structure, not necessarily doctrine, but organizational structure of the Assemblies of God. What kind of specific competencies will the polity exam seek to measure?
Right. Well, the polity exam will seek to see your familiarity with all of the Assemblies of God constitution and bylaws, as well as some really important components of the history of the Assemblies of God as a fellowship, a little bit of our timeline, some key important dates of our history, and those types of things.
So we don't scare anyone off. It's not like you got to memorize the Constitution and bylaws, right? You need a basic understanding, which you're never going to get unless you read it, right?
Exactly. It's good to take a look at the Constitution and bylaws and really be familiar with it.
So when they're taking this exam, a candidate's allowed to bring some things with them in the room, and then there's other things they're not allowed to bring in the room with them. What would be allowed in this context?
Yes, well, there's a few things you can and cannot use when you're taking the exam. If you're already certified, you will only need to take the polity exam. And in that case, you're allowed to bring a paper copy of the General Counsel Constitution and Bylaws. Now, that's really great news because it's really like, exactly, it's an open book test. The answers are there. However, you're not allowed to use an electronic or digital version because we want to make sure that you have the answers and you're not just copying and pasting. So they approved candidates using a PDF. So you can use a PDF version as long as it's not a searchable PDF, if that makes sense, which the one that they send you is not going to be the searchable one. So you can use the PDF that you're given or a paper copy. I really like paper copies because usually when I prepare, I like to highlight certain things. And that would be my suggestion.
Are you allowed to take notes on your paper copy that you bring in?
You know, you're not.
Summarize things?
Yeah, you're not really supposed to take extra notes on that. But I would say highlighting some integral key portions of that in a highlighter, that would be appropriate. And if you're not already certified and going straight to the license, then for the Bible knowledge exam,
you cannot use any outside resources. That means no Bible, no concordance, and no additional notes. But for the doctrine exam, you can use a Bible as long as it does not have study notes or a concordance in the back.
So set us up to win here. Give us three points of advice on how to best prepare for the polity exam.
Yeah, well, again, those study guides are your friend. They were created to help you, so take advantage. Imagine if somebody ahead of time for a test said, hey, if you read everything in here, you'll ace this. That's really what it's designed to do. They're distributed to you ahead of time, and so make sure you read through those study guides. Number two, I would be sure to read through the Constitution and Bylaws at least once, maybe twice. Just get yourself familiar with that. It's not the most exciting reading, but let me tell you, it does give you a great sense of how we operate and how business is done and how change can be manifested through our governance, which is really helpful. Number three, just be familiar with key dates and figures and places in the story of how the Assemblies of God came to be. And honestly, all of that information is in the class, the Assemblies of God History, Missions, and Governance course, which most ministers are required to take. So I would pay extra attention to that course as well.
Now, in addition to that great advice that Beth gave, we have collaborated with credential specialists around the nation to provide some other additional resources to help you prepare for the credential exam and the interviews. Now, they vary in approach. There's the study guide. There's one group that actually put the tenets of faith to music to help you remember it. There's all kinds of, the important thing is pick one that suits your unique learning style and use it. Those can be accessed through a PDF document on our credentials page, and they are under the icon progression, building a better you. Now, Beth, you've seen a lot of people take the polity exam who have probably identified some common denominators of success. What are the most common mistakes people make in the polity exam?
Yeah, there's a few. Probably the most common mistake is when they're looking at the Constitution and Bylaws for the first time on the day of the exam, and then they're kind of panicking. They're like, where are things? And, you know, even if you just, again, look through it and are familiar with where certain items are, it's laid out for you with a content, you know, in the beginning to show you where items are. Just be familiar with it. Number two would probably just be getting hung up on a word or two and how questions are given. Try to take the question at face value and just try not to overthink it. Try not to add or take away from it. Just take it at face value and answer it. And usually that will be helpful to you.
Awesome. That is great advice. So an applicant has to pass this exam with a grade higher than 70%, right?
Exactly.
And then they go to an interview committee, and each network is different on how these committees are, you know, made up, but they do exist in every network. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've passed the test. Now we're moving on to the interview. What are three ways that we can best prepare for that interview?
Well, top three are these. Number one, just pray and trust that Jesus is with you for this part of your ministry journey. He's brought you to this point and he will equip you for this conversation. So take a deep breath and just relax and trust that Jesus is with you for this. Number two, be able to share your call to ministry. The interview team really wants to hear your heart for ministry and hear your story. So be ready to share the challenges of ministry that you've had, how you've navigated those, and also come and be ready to share your vision for future ministry. What's God speaking to you? What are the things that God has called you to do in the future? Be ready to share those pieces of your story. And number three, if there are any items of concern on your background check, credit report, it happens. Just be prepared to discuss those. If they're there, again, don't panic. Just simply explain why they're there. I've seen a number of examples of these. Sometimes things come up on background checks that maybe they were before Jesus, you know, they were BC, before you knew Christ. Just simply explain that that's a part of your testimony. There's really no shame or blame. We just want to make sure that we understand your full story. And if there's anything on your credit report that comes up, maybe a bill accidentally was overlooked, or maybe you had some type of medical crisis and bills got backed up, you know, just explain that. And if there are things that need attention and need paid off, make an effort to do that. So example, we had one person that had a medical challenge and there was a large bill and they went and called the hospital and made a payment plan and came and showed us they were paying off $50 a month until that was paid off. So simple things like that.
That's awesome advice, because the temptation is to just avoid those things.
Exactly.
And that can make for an awkward interview. These interviews, you know, focus on different things. In the beginning, your certified is really, according to the bylaws, focusing on your potential. Your license is focusing on your call. And then 2 years later, the ordination is focusing on the fruits of your ministry. We want to see God's blessing and his favor on your ministry. So you might be asking, well, what kind of questions will be asked? And so we have provided a potential list of questions on our website on the network. Now, you can be sure questions are going to be asked about certain things like doctrine and tenets of faith and the things that Beth has already mentioned. But remember, every interview is different, and the dynamic of personalities makes every interview different. And so not every question on that assistance resource is going to be asked. But however, it does give you an idea of the kind of information that the interview committee will be looking for. So that is available on our website on the credentials page under the progression stage in the phase there, that resource is listed. So Beth, in the back of everyone's head is, wow, what if I don't pass the exam? What happens? Am I just for life scratched off from the Assemblies of God? Am I banned from ministry? And I know you got some good news for us.
Well, yes, here's the reality. Just like our relationship with God, whenever we fail at something, God just simply gives us the test again until we learn, until we grow, right? So the good news is if you don't get at least 70%, you can go back, study some more, and when you're ready, you simply come and take that exam again.
That's awesome, Beth. Well, you've been a huge help to us, giving us some great expert coaching. Hey, Beth, before we close, can I ask that you just lead us in prayer for those that are going to be taking the licensing exam and interview? And can you pray God's blessing on that process?
I'd be happy to. God, we're just so grateful that you have called each and every one of us to join you in making disciples of all nations. God, your word encourages us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. God, let us be faithful and what you've called us to do, and remind us simply that obedience is success. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
You're welcome.
And thank you to those who are listening. If you have any other questions about the credentialing process, remember, we have created a very simple user-friendly page on our website at rmdc.org/ credentials. Before we sign off, I do want to encourage you to continue advancing your credential. Well, why would you do that? Because personal growth requires that you be a learning leader through your entire life. When you advance your credential, you're increasing your credibility, you're increasing your potential for the kingdom, you are growing spiritually, and you are contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. So man, the kingdom of God needs you, and you need the kingdom. In our next episode, we're going to be talking with Beth again about how to prepare for advancement from licensed to ordained. We'll talk more about that then. Take care.